Welcome back to the Profit Your Knowledge podcast. Today's guest is Trunis Goggins II. He is an educator, author, consultant for both small businesses and higher rated institutions. He's also the host of the 4 P's of You podcast. And we're going to be going over those 4 P's. It's about our self-leadership and how we kind of operate in our day-to-day and really, really live our lives to the fullest, ultimately. So I'm really excited about this and just to dive in to learn more about Trunis. How are you doing today, Trunis?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me, James.
Absolutely, man. So we were chatting a little bit about your story, and I'd love you just to kind of share a bit of the backstory about how you were in the military, and now you're this speaker and teacher, and this is what you do, and you get paid to do this stuff, which is awesome. What made you decide to become an entrepreneur, and specifically, how did you get into the space of teaching and sharing your knowledge and developing like the 4 P's and that sort of stuff?
Okay. The funny thing is I was born into an entrepreneurial family. My father was an entrepreneur. He owned roller skating rinks, nightclubs. He owned a couple of restaurants, bowling alleys in Buffalo, in Alabama, and also in New Orleans. So I was kind of born into, you work on your own, you start your own business, you do your own thing. The teaching aspect came because my mother and father divorced when I was 12. So, I mean, I'm old now. So it was a long time ago. And when they separated, my mother went on and became an educator. And so both of those fields, both of those careers interest me a lot. And then you were talking about the military. My grandfather's in the military. So I really literally followed in the footsteps of my grandmother, my mother, and my father, my grandfather, my mother, and my father. And that's basically how that went. The consulting just comes about because I'm, you know, when you work on your PhD, you're always trying to solve problems. And I got into that mindset. When you're an entrepreneur, you're trying to solve problems. You're trying to fill gaps. And so the consulting came in where, hey, I can fill that gap. I can solve a problem for you. But I would also like to get paid to do that. So,
you know, that's a thing. That's, yeah, for happened. Sure. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So I'm curious, and I always love to ask people this, you know, especially when they've been in the industry for a while and been in the game for quite a while. So how did you kind of get the ball rolling with your business, you know, with the consulting stuff? I feel like a lot of people, and I'm sure you've done that, we've all kind of done this, but we coach people for free, or we help people for free to kind of like test our chops and that sort of stuff. And then we get to a point where we're asking for money. So how did you get your first set of like real consulting, coaching kind of deals, whether it's with a company or with even individuals, to where you're actually getting paid for this?
Right. Okay, for consulting, what are you good at? What am I good at? Well, I'm good at education. I'm good at small business. And so when I knew that I was good at those things and that was my quote unquote expertise, I went and I started joining foundations. I mean, I went in institutions and different clubs and going to different conferences. So I went to, for Historically Black College, I went to a lot of their education conferences. I went to accreditation conferences for colleges. And so I started talking to people, gaining that network, building that network. As far as small business is concerned, I would go to Chamber of Commerce meetings and just sit in. I would talk to SCORE, which is a small business institution. SCORE. I would go to SCORE meetings and just sit in. And then I would look and say, okay, so how can I fill a gap? How can I talk to people? Yes, you're right. The first couple of times I talked to people, it was for free. But I made sure that the stuff I did for free were things that they were beneficial. So the next time you talk to me, now it's going to cost you. Mm-hmm. But now when you talk to me the next time, when it's going to cost you, you know what kind of work you're going to get. You know what advice you're going to get, what kind of consultation you're going to get, because you know that the first time we talked, it worked. And that's how I started it. But networking beyond, I know that we are now in this age of social media and LinkedIn and all those good things. And those things are great. And I use them, don't get me wrong. But the best thing still to this day is that human face-to-face touch and that networking. Get out there, rub elbows a little bit, as they say, drink a couple beers, and I'm going to tell you it's going to work.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy because like I was just talking with a really cool guy. He's like friends with Bob Berg and stuff like that. He's just on the podcast. His name's Richard Wileman. His episode should be coming out right before this one, in case you're listening. Mm-hmm. Really cool guy. And we were just talking about how it's so crazy how one relationship can just completely catapult your career. Because it just takes one person who knows the next person or a group of people that gives you your next clients for a whole year. Like, it can happen. You speak in front of that one conference that then introduces you to the next person, has this ripple effect. And it's like, people are so focused on the width of like, oh, gotta have a huge social media following, subscribers and all that stuff. Subscriber count doesn't matter. I could tell you that from experience, because I was making thousands of dollars from YouTube when I had 200 subscribers and we just passed 1.1 thousand. And it's like every month, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm not even technically monetized. I still have to get my watch time up, but I still make money from the platform. And people think you have to have these huge numbers and stuff in order to make an income, but really it's more about depth rather than width. And like you said, like conferences and stuff, if you know who you want to help, like let's say you wanted to help athletes, then go to conferences and events where athletes are hanging out so you can rub shoulders with them. You can chat with them and learn more about their pains, their frustrations, and just like what they're doing, and just connect with them. And then, yeah, it's going to strike up conversations and opportunity, more importantly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You are totally right. That is always the best thing, is networking. You cannot, you know, there's so many fantastic, talented individuals and professionals out there, but the reason why you don't know about them is because they don't tell you who they are, and they just sit back. And you've got to, you know, I worked for a bank years ago. It was called Gold Dome Savings Bank. The bank is gone. It was a part of the savings and loan scandal. Something now it's in history books. But there was a branch manager that we had that had a thing, had a program at the branch I worked in. I was very young when I worked there, and it was called Brag About Yourself. And she said, you know what, if you do something, if you go out of your way to help a client, or if you go out of way or do something do something extraordinary, make sure someone knows about it. And brag about it. And I'm not saying, you know, always talk about yourself. I'm not saying that at all. But make sure people recognize when you go above and beyond. Make sure it's out there. Yeah. Advertise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And something, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about like coaching people for free in the beginning. And you were like, well, yeah, the first one is going to lead to the second one. The second one is like, you're going to pay me. And, or like, you know, there's money involved. There's a talk of investment. And I think that even if you are starting out and kind of growing the business, like, you're never really coaching people for free. And I think that if I could restart my journey, I would have really focused on helping people, which is what the whole game's about. And in exchange, maybe it's not money, but they can give you a rock solid testimonial. And then you help a handful, even five people, and you get five rock solid testimonials that you put on your website or on a page. And then that's going to lead to more paid opportunities, because people are like, oh, this person's legit. He's helped, or she has helped X amount of people and done a good job. And then that can lead to paid opportunities. So you're never really coaching people for free if you're being strategic.
Absolutely. You're right.
Cool. So you're big on leadership, and I love that. Leadership is huge. We have to know how to lead ourselves as entrepreneurs, especially. And then, you know, if we have a team or other people, or even our clients too, we have to lead people in our lives, even a family as well. You talk a lot, and you even have a whole podcast around this, the four P's of you. What is this? What's a quick overview, and then maybe we can unpack it a little bit more.
The four P's, you know, we all know, you know, this is a business podcast, so we know the four P's of marketing. We learned that very first marketing class. You learned about those. These are the four P's of you. And the four P's of you are purpose, planning, passion, and persistence. And in order for you to be a good leader, in order for you to lead yourself, you need to know your purpose. You know, what are you here for? If you have a business, what is your business good at? What is your business here to do? What gap are you trying to fill? And then after you have that purpose and you know who you are, you know what you want to be, you got to have a plan. And that plan has to be detailed. It can't be, well, I'm going to, in 5 years, I'm going to make $1 million. Well, how are you going to make $1 million? How is that going to happen? And then the third thing is passion. And passion is extremely important, because, you know, a lot of people say, I am driven by I will say it this way. No one's driven by money. No one is really driven by money. They're driven by what money can come about. I saw this. I'm a huge Walking Dead fan. And I really do. I loved it. I watched every single episode, even the ones that got really long and boring in the middle. But what there was one episode, and it was an episode where they were walking through this subway tunnel, and there was a dead person laying there with a suitcase full of money. It was a briefcase full of money, and there were all $100 bills. And they all looked down at the money and they walked on. Because there's nothing you that money is useless. But it's the things that right now money can get. So what are you passionate about? Granted, you need money to do what you're passionate about, but what are you absolutely passionate about? Because if you are not passionate, don't have a passion about your purpose, you're not going to serve your purpose well. And that leads to the last one, which is persistence. And the other thing, and the funny thing is passion and persistence go together, because how much pain are you willing to take? Because when you're in small business, when you are starting a small business, or even when you are deep 20, 40, 50, my dad was 50 years into his business and he still had to persist because things change. Now it's the level of persistence that you're willing to take. I know I play hockey, right? And if I am sick or if it's cold outside, because I live here in Asheville, North Carolina, and we play outside, and yes, even though I'm in North Carolina, we have some 15 degree nights, and I will go out right now and I will play hockey and it's 15 degrees. It's not to, not right now, but it's 15, if it's 15 degrees outside and it's a hockey game, I'm going to put on some extra gear and I'm going to play. On the flip note, and I'll go through the pain. Yes, it is cold at 15, but on the flip note, if somebody said, hey, it's 42 degrees outside, you want to go play golf, I'm probably going to say no. I don't want to do it. I don't have the same level of passion for golf as I do for hockey. I'd much rather be playing hockey than golf. So I would take a little bit extra pain because I have a passion for hockey and I don't for golf. And that's, and that's in life and that's in business. If you start a business because it's an easy business, and you think you can make a lot of money real quick, the moment, and but you're not passionate about whatever you're starting, the moment things get difficult and there's going to be times that you have to persist, that may be the time you fail. Because you're not passionate about it. Like, I'm going to walk out of this anyway. And so those are the four Ps.
Wow, what a great explanation. Thank you. Can you tell me about a time where I always love hearing about this with like people who teach stuff online, because there comes a point where we really have to practice what we preach, and we should always be doing that, but there's like times where it's like, wow, I've really had to use these principles. I had a relationship coach and they were saying that they had something happen in their life and it was like they really had to practice what they were doing and it was hard. And she's like, I ask my clients to do this stuff all the time, but when I have to do it, it's like, whoa, man, this is like I really got to think and buckle down. But can you tell me about a time where you had, some of that resistance or some of those challenges, but you leveraged the four Ps to really move forward and kind of like use them in your own life?
Oh yes, I've had a number of times. I had one very extreme time. I don't want to delve into that one, but there was a time when I was moving up in academia, and when I went to go get my doctorate, I said, "Okay, I'm going to get my doctorate. What I'm going to do is I'm going to teach, I'm going to consult, and I'm going to write." And that's exactly what I said. And I said that back when I was working on my right before I got done with my doctorate. That was my goal. That was my plan, and that was basically my purpose. However, sometimes you get diverted, okay? And I had an opportunity. I was teaching. I had a great class. I loved what I was doing. I was teaching for Ivy Tech Community College in Columbus, Indiana. And I loved what I was doing, and I was approached to be a part of the Chancellor's cabinet. I'm going to be in administration. More money, more this, more, I mean, more everything, and I got my own little office and with the window and all that other crap. I hated it. And I really had to persist. And I realized, and my persistence came not because of something else, not because of something external, it was internal. I could have made a decision, said, no, I like what I'm doing now because this is the track I'm trying to take, but I didn't do that. And I went ahead and followed the money, followed, you might want to say prestige. I'm a part of the Chancellor's cabinet. You could put vice right next to my name and all that other crap, but it was stupid. All right. It was a stupid thing I had to do. And what I had to do with my persistence is I literally had to do a about face. I took a major pay cut. I had to leave. I mean, I still do work for Ivy Tech as an adjunct, and I will never ever stop working for their inmate program. It's the greatest program you'll ever know. But I had to take a major step backwards. And I had to swallow pride. I had to get, have a little bit of humility. I had all these things, and I had to persist because now I have to start over because now I'm taking a major pay cut. I have to, I have to go back to the old communities that I just not, I don't want to say I left, but I disassociated myself with them. And it caused me to turn around based on my own mistake. And I had to push forward. And a lot of times we do that. Small businesses do that. You might make the wrong decision. I mean, big businesses. I mean, I grew up during the era of New Coke. Oops. I mean, they had Coca-Cola, and then they came out with this new formula that tastes like crap, and they had to go back. They had to take a step backwards, and they had to persist. They had to persist through the jokes and through the marketing faux pas and all that other stuff. And that is and I'll always learn that to make sure that I'm always following my purpose and I'm always staying on track.
Love it, man. So, Trunas, as you have gained more experience in entrepreneurship as a whole, making a name for yourself and that kind of stuff, what do you feel has become more important to you on the journey and why?
Wow, that is a great question. Making a name for myself, what the most important thing on the journey, let's go back to that. The most important thing for the journey is to make sure that the product that I'm giving, which is, advice, it's consultation, it's a book, it's making sure that people are taking whatever I put out there and they're improving themselves. I want to make sure that the quality is good. I don't ever want it to be watered down. I want it to be something that when you turn on my podcast, when you have me out for a speaking engagement or a consultation or a conference, when you pick up my book, when you put that down, or when you stop listening to me, you are able to take what I gave you and improve your life. And that's what I want to make sure. What I don't want this to ever be about me. I don't want this to be a story about me. I don't want this to be about me. This is about improving your life. We all talk about economics. You have trickle down economics. You have trickle up economics. You have all these different economic systems. But I believe that it's in this, and I don't want to sound political, but I believe that in this thing, the economics is making sure that we as educators, we as entrepreneurs, we as distributors of information are giving this information in a way where it will improve the quality of life and the economy of life that people who are out there trying to really go out there and be great business people and great entrepreneurs. And because I'll tell you right now, the stronger we have as a small business space, and the strong it leads to a stronger economy, and it leads to a better quality of life for everybody.
Yeah, and I think it's an important mindset shift too, because people are very self-focused. We wake up in the morning, we look in the mirror and we're like, do I look good? Am I presentable? Do I look good in this outfit before we go out, or things like that. And even people's habits when they're researching, which is the point of our business to distribute information, they're researching information. I made a video about how to build a profitable website, and I literally told them in it, I'm like, don't make your website about you, because so many people do it. It's this huge business card and it's all about them. Make it about the person who's landing on the website, your audience, because that's what people care about. You're on my website because you're seeing, okay, this person knows some stuff about something I'm interested in. How can they help me grow my business? How can they help me get in better shape? And that's how we actually grow the business. So if you can understand that, the best rule in marketing is that everybody cares about themselves, really, which is kind of ironic because you just said, like, I don't want it to be about me. But like, it's so powerful because the majority of people, that's what they're thinking about, is that they're trying to learn how to cook a meal so they can make a good impression on their first date or for their relatives who come over. And if you're teaching them how to cook, like, that's like what it's all about, is helping the other person.
Absolutely. It's funny that you bring that up. My father, like I said, he owned a skating rink and nightclub. And during the 80s and 90s, it was very much, even before that, but it was a hip hop. We had, and I'm going back a long time ago. We're going to when LL Cool J had like top 10 records. Okay. So, I mean, this is where we're going, right? And so my father absolutely hated that music, hated it, right? And so when he got home, when he got out of the nightclub or the skating rink, he would go in the car and he would throw on Frank Sinatra, you know, he would throw on Ray Charles, stuff like that. And I would say, Dad, how can you listen to this music in the car? And then at night, and he was a master at even getting his nightclub was he would have music that would come out. He would go to a record store. This is before you can get it on YouTube. He'd go to a record store. He would listen to a song. He would listen to like maybe 40 seconds of the song. And he'd say, yeah, I'm buying that one. Or, yeah, I'm going to get that one. He would buy all these records and he would leave. And he would say, Dad, I would say, Dad, how do you, what are you doing? He goes like this. He goes, I know what my people like. And he was so good at that because he was a great, he was successful in business because he knew what his audience liked. And he was
Wow.
really good at that. Yeah. And
Yeah.
he developed quite a few very famous disc jockeys in Western New York.
Wow. Yeah, such a great example. But that's like, I wish that I understood that earlier on. That's why I hit it home in so many episodes on this podcast. Because I'm like, please, if you listen to the show, like just understand that, because it's going to help you succeed so much faster. Trunis, based on your career as a whole, what's something that you wish someone would have told you early on?
Plan, stay focused, always plan, and plan internally and externally, and always stick to that plan. A lot of times we chase. And we do. We all we you know when we're younger, we chase, you know, this is the quickest route. And sometimes it's not the best route. It's a quick route to whatever. But you always have to make a plan, stick to your plan, and listen to the people who have already gotten there. You know, that's the best thing. There are a lot of people out there who are great mentors who would love to share. I mean, if you can go out, if you are, I don't care what field you're in. Again, remember I started this out with networking. I'm going to end it with networking. Go to someone that you know has been successful in a certain field and talk to them. Make sure they're old, and I'm being serious. Make sure they're old and they have no interest in anything. They want to leave behind. They want that self, you know, we're talking about the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Get somebody who's at that self-actualization where they want to leave something behind because they're going to give you the greatest advice you can have because they have nothing to lose. But they have everything to gain, and you giving them credit for what they, you know, what they did. So listen and plan both of those.
Yeah. And I think that plan, because I'm guilty of this, and I know people who listen to this podcast are too. We can over plan and just like get lost in planning. And when I had this dream, and it worked out very well, actually. So Kajabi is a part of my business because I use Kajabi. It's like my favorite tool. It's what I run my whole business on. And I'm a part of the partner program. And I really wanted to build it up because it's great passive income on the side. So I knew a couple people who had been doing 30 days or 90 days of Kajabi tutorials, consecutive days that it went out. And I saw that and I trust them. I've been in masterminds and groups with them. So I was like, I'm going to do something like that. So I decided on 60. That was a behemoth of a project to look at that and be like, I have to make 60 videos and schedule them consistently and make thumbnails and all this stuff. And it's this whole thing. And I remember my girlfriend, because I was putting like so much time, like multiple months into working on this. And she was like, what if it like doesn't work? And she was just curious. And I thought that was a great question because I'm like, I guess I'll figure out something else. But I was very confident that it would work. And it was a lot. So I stuck with it. And thinking about it, I was thinking, just getting so scattered in my brain of like, I have to do this, there's this, there's this. So I just got a Google Doc and I just listed the steps and just being like, okay, well, I'd have to like make thumbnails, but I'd like to make one consistent thumbnail and I can just change out a couple little things like the text and the picture of me, keep everything else very similar and have like the number on the side. And then it was like, okay, I have to film all the videos. I have to write the videos. And it was just like making a really simple checklist of like what needs to get done. And then I executed on those. And as I did it, more steps would follow. But it was just getting like a really simple brain dump of just what has to get done to make this happen. And then executing on one thing at a time. So it was like the thumbnail design. Okay, that's not that hard. I go into Canva, I make a quick design. And it's like, yeah, I can change this up a bit. Pretty simple, you know? And then it was making all the video outlines. and then it was recording all the videos. So I just did things in batches. And the next thing I knew, everything was scheduled and it was just happening. And then it was bringing in, you know, thousands of dollars each month in passive income. And I'm like, awesome. You know, and it continues to grow too. But it was, I spent a lot of time getting lost in the planning where it just got to a point where I'm like, I just need to get this done. So what's the simplest little roadmap that I can lay out for myself and then start moving? And this is great proverb. I don't know where it's from. When I read it, it just said proverb. But it was the work will teach you how to do it. And I think when you get a simple roadmap out, just like, okay, that's obvious stuff that needs to happen. You're like losing weight. Okay. I got obviously like move more, exercise more. Very obvious. I could eat better foods. Okay, cool. And then as you're doing it, you start to find the meals that work for you, the exercise that works for you, because you're doing the actual work and it's teaching you how to do it along the journey. So I just wanted to add that in there. Mm-hmm. Trueness, it's been great getting to know you, man. Really appreciate all the knowledge bombs, the four P's, everything you've shared, the stories. Where can people learn more about you and get connected?
Yes, I have Trunis Goggins too. So it's TRUNNISGOGGINS, the number 2.com. You can actually buy my book from there. You can listen to my podcast. You can also, if you need to schedule a speaking engagement or anything of that nature, please go ahead, get on there, register, and I will get back to you as soon as we can.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Right on. We will put a link down in the description. For the listener, we covered a lot, you know, the four P's, different stories and whatnot. And I think that, you know, there's a lot that we definitely covered, but having a focus on the people that you can help, going where they're hanging out with, building your network. That's what Trunis was hitting home the whole time. And pro tip, podcasting, doing what I'm doing right now, what Trunis and I do, we get to know each other, you know, and this could lead, I mean, who knows, you know, where it could lead, but I've created so many relationships and opportunities with amazing people just doing podcasting. So you don't even have to fly to different events. You can literally have a podcast and connect with really amazing people. And that's something I've done in my own business, because this is networking, having different guests on, and you get awesome content too. So killing multiple birds with one stone, if you will. But the biggest thing is that hopefully you got some inspiration from today's episode. More importantly, you do something with it, because implementation is your only superpower. So take what you learned here, get out there, make something happen. We will see you in the next one.